pray, Lord, that you'd bring healing, Lord, to this severe headache, Lord, and just allow her, Lord, to receive your peace.
Yes, Lord.
Pray also for Rowdy, Lord, that you would bring him strength and restoration, God, and heal his body, Lord. We ask for the healing, Lord, this children's bread to be released. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for being in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us. Lord, that we were, Lord, the first thing that you thought about. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are our God and we are your people. We thank you, Lord, that we can look to you, God, for our full deliverance, Lord, from everything in this life that entangles us. Thank you, Lord, that you are making a way for us today to experience a deeper walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that this house right here is your place, Lord. We just want to enjoy your presence this morning.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. I want more. Thank you.
So join in with heaven. Don't feel like you're separate because we're not in front of the throne and we're down here on earth. But guys, let's just press right past the nasty smoke out there and into the presence of God. He longs to talk to you. He longs to share the things that frighten yes. you. He longs to calm your heart, to calm your soul. There's many times he's been the only thing that I've had to lean on, but he's never failed me, ever. So.
Glory.
was just giving Jesse some time. So, okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're still in the book of John, but we're not following the pattern. This last week, you guys know, usually when I get a verse kind of drop into my heart, I end up sharing about it. And the verse that's in the middle of this passage here just dropped in my heart. And so what happens is when a scripture drops in my heart, I usually go, because the kind of the student of the word that I am, I usually immediately start going, okay, I've read that many times. What do I not know about it? In other words, I don't say, oh yeah, I know that scripture, and thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I go, okay, you're putting this in my heart for a reason. And you want me to either meditate on it, or you want me to dig some more. And so I've been doing some digging. I don't know what kind of revelation. I mean, I don't have oh man, and I discovered this. But I believe that as we share today, some things will open up. So abiding in him. Does everybody know what that is? That is something that's very near and dear to the Yakima Valley now. That is a vineyard. We have become a vineyard, like, you know, Southern California, almost like place. And I know that I've heard that our wines are like sought after all over the world. There's something about this soil that produces some amazing grapes. But we're talking about abiding. And so Jesus is going to use in John chapter 15 the whole idea of the vine to communicate something. And so I'm going to go ahead and have Gay read through, can you read through 10? And I'll just, oh, do you have it here? Here you go. That way you don't have to worry about it.
And 1 through 10?
Yeah, and then just flip it there as you can.
Okay. John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Oh, gotcha. Now I can see it. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Am I going all the way to 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Thank you. So did you guys notice a word that was in there a lot? Abide. Abide. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I have to say this. Oh, sorry, one little part, two part. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I was reading in different translations, and one of the translations says it this way, and I couldn't truly validate it with like going to the Greek, but this is Aramaic, and we know that Jesus probably spoke Aramaic, so it's the Aramaic Bible. And it says it like this. It says, I am the vine of truth, and my Father is the cultivator. And I love that, because we know that Jesus is truth. And if you think about it, we need that truth. So most of the translations will say, I am the true vine. It's interesting in the Greek, though, it says, I am the vine, the true, is how it says it. So Kind of an interesting thing there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, has any of you ever read that verse 2? Has anyone read verse 2 before of that or heard it?
Yeah.
And I mean, when you read it, does it sometimes like cause you to like go, oh no, I need to bear fruit. And it's like, you are like, almost like scared. And anybody else? Nobody else thinks that?
Well, like, wait, I don't want to get burned up, or wait, do I really want him to prune me?
Or prune you. Well, pruning happens even if you're bearing fruit. But the point being is that that sounds like almost like he's saying, you know what, if you don't do this right, you're going to get it. And that's not what he's saying. Because if you think about it, what do we have to do to bear fruit? He's the vine. His father's the vine dresser. And we are the branches. So what does a branch have to do to stay healthy?
Stay on the vine.
Stay on the vine.
Yeah.
And what does the branch have to do to bear fruit if it's on the vine?
Be pruned.
Be pruned or just stay.
Just stay there. Yeah.
That's the abiding. The abiding isn't like something that you've got to, you know, do all this stuff to abide. Abide means having relationship. That's what I was telling Gabe. It's all about relationship. That's what this is talking about. The abiding is remaining. It's having a relationship, a constant, continuous relationship with the Lord. Then he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're already clean. He's telling them, listen, I've been with you. These are the disciples. This is chapter 15 of John. How many know what happens in chapter 18? Jesus goes to the cross. So we're really close to the cross here. We're probably only still hours away. This is that night. This is the same night that he washed the disciples' feet, the same night that Judas betrayed him, the same night that he goes into the garden. This is that night. And he's telling them, listen, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, telling them, listen, guys, you're good. You know, now just abide in me. Stay in me. You know, when you guys heard the word, the good news of the gospel, which is Jesus died for you. Jesus came as God in the flesh. And God in the flesh took the place of man on the cross. So that we could restore full relationship. And that our sins are wiped as clean, as white as wool. Though they were like scarlet, the Bible says. They're clean. We're purified. So now he's saying, you're clean. Now abide in me. Stay in me. And I in you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So what is he saying? Listen, a branch, an apple tree, a cherry tree, you know, any type of fruit, even a vegetable, if it's separated from the root, it's separated from the source, what happens? It dries up.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
It dries up and it's good for nothing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good for firewood.
Exactly.
Now, what if some people would say, well, then maybe there's some people out there that haven't bore fruit yet, and they're already dried up, and all that's left for them is to be burnt up. And I mean, you know, there's probably times in your life that you could probably think, I'm in that state. I've been separated from God for this long now. I haven't done anything. If anything, I've done stuff that are contrary to what he wants me to do. And now I'm at a situation where I guess I'm just going to burn. Who makes that decision whether you're connected or not? God, right?
God does, yeah.
I think it's pretty difficult to be separated from God, guys.
Even though we feel like it.
Even though we feel like it.
How many? I mean, Lisa, I know you've told me before that you basically thought if I would have died, I went right to hell. In your estimation, from your point of view. Yet God said, no,
not so much.
How big do you think my love is for you, Lisa? You learned, didn't you?
Yeah, he had to take us from Georgia to Yakima. That's what he had to do.
Yeah. That was your wilderness journey.
Yeah. But there.
But he was with you all along the way.
Yes.
He never left you. In whatever state, even in the dried up state that you think you might be in, I'm here to tell you, I believe that the burning can even be a restoration process. Because it may be that he burns up what was there so that he can start something new. See, God's very powerful. Is that not good news?
That's good news.
That we're not limited to our own ability to understand God, to know his love. We're not limited to how much he can love us based on how much we can receive his love. Because he just loves. And all we have to do to abide is remain in him. That's what that word abide means. We'll look here in a little bit. Hang in a second. Went to sleep. All right. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides or remains and stays in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. So how do we bear fruit? Do we bear fruit by, you know, learning all this stuff, figuring out all this stuff, getting all our I's dotted and our T's crossed, or I's crossed and T's dotted, however you do it, you know? But my point being is, do we make it so that we can bear fruit? That's not what the Bible says. We learned that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is fruit. And that the way that we receive that fruit is by being in a place where the fruit can grow. And that's just in him. It is a natural process. So then if that's the case, Pastor Mike, why do I even come to church? Why do I even read my Bible? Why do I even pray? I mean, there's this argument. People say, well, if it's all done, then why do I have to do anything? Well, picture it this way. Why would you even say that if you have a love relationship with God? If it's not based on love, if it's based on duty and works, then yeah, you might say that. Again, I go back to my relationship with Gay and her relationship with me. I mean, if it was based on we had to do these things because that's what you had to do to be married, you know, had to fulfill these different obligations. You know, I had to do the dishes 2.3 times a month or something like that, you know, to be on the, you know, at least this is what a husband even on the fringes will do. You know what I'm saying? 2.3 times. I love doing dishes anyway. But the point being is that if it was about what I have to do to have relationship with you, and then we can have relationship instead of it's the basis is love.
Right.
See, I'm remaining in you. I'm abiding in you. By just being with you and giving you my heart.
Yeah.
That's what it means. I'm remaining. It's not that tricky. Is this too simple?
I think that in the world today, we remain only if it goes the way we want it to.
Thank you.
What's that?
I said, I think in the world today that we only remain if it's going the way we want it to.
Oh, so in other words, our relationship with God is based on if we think it's the way that we think it should go.
Exactly. Because how many of us kind of get a little bit off track, and even though the quickest point between A and B is a straight line, we tend to make it the curviest roundabout way we could make it to still get there, but it could have been the straight line. We have been taught, we have almost absorbed within ourselves as Americans, people on the earth, that I there's so much that I deserve. I'm entitled. Hey, I'm entitled. And if it doesn't go the way we want to, it's like, oh God, you asked the wrong person to do that. So now go get it right and let me move on. No, he didn't. He asked you.
And you're the right person.
And you are the right person, or he would have never asked you to begin with. He doesn't call. He doesn't call people that are equipped. He equips people that are called. So you may not even feel like, okay, the Lord wants me to do A or B. Well, and then we say, wait, I don't know how to do A, and I certainly don't know how to do B. So God, you got your wires crossed. This is meant for sister so-and-so over there. You know, I'm good. That's not enough for God anymore. It isn't. He's expecting a lot more from us. And he's expecting us to want to remain in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's expecting us to want to abide with him. Instead of doing it because we know that
the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. It's going to get me to heaven and I will not burn. That's not love. And that's not relationship. It isn't. And if that is what you have viewed it to be, a relationship to be, it's because it's skewed by what the world has been in you. We have to peel back all those layers. We have to let all of that stuff go. And it just has to be me and him, you and him, and you in him, and me in him, remaining in him.
In him.
In him.
Which in him is, means in the Greek, in the midst of him. You know, it's not just some phrase that we coin, oh yeah, I'm in Christ. No, it means that we're in the midst of him. We're remaining in him. We're keeping our thoughts and our hearts and our intentions and our focus on him. That's what it means to remain. Okay. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. There it is. That's the one right there. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. So, I mean, again, has anyone been at the point where they thought, wow, I mean, I must be not abiding in him because I don't sense his presence. I don't feel his love. I'm doing things that I know in my heart that are contrary to what I think he would desire me to do. And you think that you're, or you thought that you were at that point where I'm that branch and I'm withered, or maybe you didn't know this verse, but you thought, wow, I'm disconnected from God. I'm not abiding. Right?
Right.
So, what is the redeeming quality of this? I believe the fact is that God is able to take us at any point, even if we're that withered branch, supernaturally, and he burns with fire, gathers us up and burns with fire, that we can be restored. Does that mean we want to go out and just do anything so that we can do, you know, keep coming back? No, because we have relationship. And the beauty of relationship is you're on a journey together. Mm-hmm. I mean, your relationship with God is a journey. It's a marvelous, wonderful journey that you're on. And the journey is from now through the rest of your existence,
forever.
Which is forever, which is a long time. I don't think many of us can. But that's your journey. So you should start really enjoying the journey now.
Mm-hmm.
So find reasons to be in love with God. I think one of the best ways to find reason to be in love with God is to be thankful. Mm-hmm. I was riding in the car with Jesse the other day, and we were going to your house, and it was pretty hot outside, and it just seems hotter with the smoke. Does anybody else relate? I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because it gets in your lungs and it makes you feel hotter, but it just feels miserable. And I just said, oh boy, I've been just thanking the Lord for air conditioning. I've just been thanking him for it, you know. Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. You know, because we could be without it.
Well, we were.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Lord, for electricity. You know, just, you know, we don't have to have all these grand pseudo-spiritual thankfulness statements that we make to God that sound perfectly biblical. Just thank him for having your health.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you have to, thank him for some bad things. Might put a new perspective on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So here's the verse. This is the one that the Lord spoke to me on, I think it was Tuesday morning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The Greek actually says shall be done unto you or to you. If you abide in me. So here's a conditional statement that Jesus is making. If. What does if mean?
It's either a yes or a no.
Yeah, well, it means that there's a condition that will follow.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this, then I will do that. If you don't do this, then I can't do that. And a lot of us think that God watches for us to do a mistake and then punishes us. Anybody ever thought that? Yeah, they messed up. Okay, it's time to really put the dumper on them and just, you know, make their life miserable so that they realize how good I am and how much I love them. So, yeah, go beat them up. You know, it's like, what? No, God is not doing that. He doesn't have to do that. We are in a fallen, depraved world. If we just open ourselves up to going out and doing things willy-nilly, guess what? Willy-nilly things hit us. What?
Willy-nilly.
Yeah, willy-nilly. I know. It seemed like the right term to use at the time. If we go out and just arbitrarily, how about that? So much bigger word. Arbitrarily and go out and do things that, you know, for just whatever reason, whether we're just, you know, wanting to have fun or wanting to do our own thing, God doesn't have to beat us up. Life will beat us up. Life will cause us to realize things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you abide in me, if, and my words abide in you. Notice it says, if you abide in me and my words. It's a plural word there. And we'll get here in a minute to that. You'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. So the Father's glorified in our producing fruit. And again, our producing fruit is an individual thing. My fruit is not your fruit. Your fruit is not my fruit. Not one person's fruit here will be identical. There may be characteristics that are similar, because I believe the root of our fruit is love. So it will all have the signature of love on it, our fruit will. Because if it doesn't, it's worthless fruit, the Bible says. You know, you can speak the tongue of men and of angels, but you don't have love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth a thing. So this fruit that we produce glorifies the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Father, as the Father loved Jesus or love me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So here he's saying now, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide, remain, stay in my love. And if you keep my commandments, here's another if, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one of those words, commandments. Immediately, someone can think, okay, the Ten Commandments.
Rules.
Or you can think of rules. You can think of these rules and regulations that you have to follow. Strict guidelines that many people years ago had to follow. And they were told, these are the commandments you follow. And they may have been that, you know, you wear a suit and tie to church. They may have been that you don't play a musical instrument. I mean, there's all kinds of different rules that people have come up with, and they say these are the commandments. But I'm here to tell you, you got to go back to 7 to realize what the commandments are. The commandments are the words that the Father speaks to you,
right,
that the Lord speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
My commandments that I receive from the Lord may not be the commandments you receive from the Lord. Yeah, I mean, there are general things that we know that all come from a heart of love.
You shall not murder.
You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Yeah, some people say, well, I shouldn't follow those. Well, listen, if you love God,
you will.
You'll not want to do those things. Right? Isn't that the truth? I mean, John said it this way, if you love God, you won't sin. If you stay in his love, you won't sin. Well, Pastor Mike, I sin. I fall short. I do things. What I'm trying to say is, if you're in relationship with him, you're going to be not inclined to do those things because your heart's not there. Your heart's in Christ. Okay. Let's go ahead and look at this word, abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This word abide means to, I remain, I abide, I stay, I wait for, I await. Reminds me of the scripture in Isaiah 40. It says, those who wait upon the Lord, those who abide, those who remain, those who stay in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So that remaining, that abiding, that waiting is a state of being. And again, I look at my relationship with Gay as an example, because it's a relationship that I have daily. It's a relationship that I choose all the time to love her. It's a relationship that there's give and take. And our relationship with the Lord has give and take. Hello? It's not just about us, guys. It is really not just about us just going, you know, I don't have anything to say, God. You just whatever, and it's just a one-way relationship. He wants to hear our heart. I mean, what father among us or mother among us would want to sit there and just dictate to our children? Now, I know there's odd ones out there, but just dictate to our children and want them to do every single thing that we say and not have them have an original thought. I mean, yeah, we don't want them to talk back to us and be rude, but we want to hear
their opinion.
What do you think? I mean, there are fathers out there that says, listen, I wanted to be, you know, a super duper basketball star. I hurt my leg as a senior. Now you're gonna be the super duper basketball star, and I'm gonna live out my life through you. And I know that happens. But that's not God's love. God's love is son, daughter. You can abide in me and you can bear fruit. And you go and you live your life and stay in me and see, be amazed at what kind of fruit you'll produce. I mean, some of the greatest fruit that husband and wives produce is their kids, you know? Now, that's physical fruit, but I mean, it's a product of love. So abide, remain, and stay. So this Greek word is only used, this particular form of this Greek word abide, it's used about, I think I'm going to say about 100 times in the New Testament, the main word. But this particular derivative of it is only used twice. And here's it used again. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So this was chapters before, probably, you know, months before, if you look at the timeline of the book of John. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Now, it's interesting here that he uses the word word and not words. And it's actually a different Greek word, which we'll get to in a minute. I don't want to jump ahead. So, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The word here is the word rhema. Now, I've talked a little bit before. I think I've taught on the word rhema. There's a word for word that is a communication that has a special thought or intent to it. The way that I like to describe rhema is openly, I could give everyone here a logos word and I say, it'd be a good idea for you guys to go to Seattle and check it out because it's beautiful and the sky's wonderful over there and Space Needle's fun to go. And I just kind of make a general statement about going to Seattle. But a specific Rhema word would be like Zeke. You need to go over to Seattle and check it out. You know, because I know the kind of stuff that you like. You know, you like going over there with your family. And you know what I'm saying? That was like a Rhema word
just for
to Zeke. Mm-hmm. It was personal, and it was like almost a command, and it communicated a report. So going back here, this is interesting. Jesus said in 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my logos, not my Rhema, you are my disciples indeed. So I think there's...
Logos is the written levels. Word.
Logos, well, logos is the almost the general word. It doesn't be just written. Some okay. people say it's written. Logos can be a spoken word, but it's a general spoken word.
Okay.
It's you know, you could read the newspaper. That's a logos word because mm-hmm. it's just communication. But Rhema has specifics to it. Rhema gets down to the heart of the matter. And so if you look here, his logos. Abiding in the logos makes you a disciple.
Indeed.
Makes you a disciple. And you know, I was a disciple for years because I abided in the logos. I read the word. I studied the word. I studied the Bible. I could teach the Bible. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But I mean, you know, I knew the logos. I read the word almost like a newspaper. I know that sounds, you know, but I did. I mean, I knew the Greek connections to it. I knew Hebrew, and it was exciting. And yes, through the Logos, I was his disciple, and I was growing because I was following after him through his word. But Jesus is telling his disciples who had already been in the Logos, who had already been abiding. He was the Logos. It says, in the beginning was the word, was the Logos. But he's talking about to his disciples now. Now I want you to go deeper than just knowing about me or knowing my works, knowing my ways, knowing how I even operate. I want you to abide in me now. And I want you to abide in my Rhema. In other words, now it's time for you to go deeper because I'm going away. I mean, the next chapter he talks about he's going away. And that's good that he's going away. But they needed to know how to remain in him when he was away. They needed to know how to have Jesus when he was gone. Mm-hmm. And he's telling them, remain in my daily communication to you personally. Mm-hmm. Remain in my Rhema.
In that relationship.
It's all about relationship. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Got to see where I'm at here. John 8:31. I went back. Really need to get my glasses because I can't hardly see anything.
That's Rhema.
That's Rhema? Okay. Okay, so here's another time the word Rhema was used. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This is when he's talking to Satan. And Satan has said, hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn that rock into some bread and get some food because you're hungry, aren't you? If you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, listen, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not have the abundant life by just the sustenance that we receive in this natural life. It takes a heavenly word. It takes heavenly communication. So, personal heavenly communication. Spiritual communication.
That makes it one-on-one.
It makes it one-on-one. It's a unique relationship between you and God. No one can have this relationship for you.
Mm-mm.
Your parents can't have it for you. Your kids can't have it for you. It has to be your relationship with him. And the thing is he's not sitting there putting a monkey on your back to have a relationship with him. He's just desiring one to have with you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying, okay, have a relationship with me or else. That's not God. He's saying, have a relationship with me so that you can be who you are created to be.
I worked with this guy, and his brother was a very well-known pastor here in Yakima. And whenever we would, and I worked with the brother, and whenever we would work and we would start talking about even minute amount of spiritual stuff, I would say to him, now, you know, what are you going to do? And he says, well, when it happens, I'm going to grab hold of my brother and I'm going to ride up with him. No, sorry, that's not the way it's going to be. We are Christians this way, and our son cannot ride on our coat. He can't. It is all about me and him. It's all about you and him. It's all about you and him. He has no problem making it personal. Why would we? And it is very personal. It's this part where he's speaking so, I mean, it's almost like you hear the voice in this ear and you just know that you know. That's God. That's God. That's got to be God. But if we're not close enough to him, relationship wise, if we're not close enough to him, we're going to hear a lot of stuff in our ear. The world, family, you know, people that we work with. I mean, we're going to hear a lot of stuff. We have to get to the point where we're the ones that make our ear tuned into that voice, that one that he is speaking just to Tara. And he doesn't speak to Tara like he speaks to me. He doesn't speak to Vicky like he speaks to me. No, it's not the same. But what is the same is its relationship. That's the sameness of it. Vicky has a relationship. I have a relationship. Tara has a relationship. And we think if we just go by that logos word, that written or spoken word, that, ooh, well, everything is going to be great and hunky-dory and wonderful. Well, it may be today, but what happens tomorrow? What happens? Because you can try it on your own, but it's really hard. And sometimes you break apart because you just can't make it. And then we have to depend on God. And he wants us to depend on him. He wants us to depend on him now. He doesn't want us to wait until that thing comes at us tomorrow. He wants it. He doesn't want to be your genie in a bottle.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
He doesn't. If I do this and I do this and I do this, I get my wishes. He's not like that, you guys. He's like the best marriage in the whole wide world on steroids, like huge, mongous. I mean, just more than you can imagine or think. But we tend to have the relationship as the genie in the bottle. Like he's going to say yes if I do this, or he'll say yes if I do that. Mm-mm. He loves us too much. He loves us too much to let it be about things that are not relational. He loves us too much. He wants us to get to the part where when my heart beats, his heart beats. My twin and I are mirror twins. And what that means is that when we face one another, my left eye is bad and her right eye is bad. I'm right-handed, she's left-handed. See what I mean? We're mirror twins. We look at each other and whatever side it happens to be on, well, that's what the Lord wants us to be, as a mirror disciple or a mirror lover of God, because he wants us to mirror everything that he does. He wants it to be me and him. And then when it is, all that other stuff, it's going to be added to you. And you won't ever need a genie in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And if what you think that you need, you don't get, then you have to say, okay, Lord, well, apparently you have something else out there for me then. If this is not what it's supposed to be, it's something else. Because he's a good, good father. But he is not a genie in a bottle.
So I'm going to finish with this passage from 1 John chapter 4. It's about five verses that communicates I think in some ways what the abiding means, and to give us also some frame of reference, because you're saying, Pastor Mike, I understand about remaining, I understand about, you know, but how do you do it? Well, John must have heard us talking in that, when we were reading that part, he said, yeah, let me give you some ideas of what abiding means. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. So right there, loving each other is a demonstration of God abiding in us. And his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit testifies to us that we're abiding in him. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. So the confession of the Christ, that's what it's saying, is the Son of God. The confession that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, God abides in him. So your confession and belief in Christ is another way of that remaining being, I would say, substantiated and increased. And he and God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God.
Yes.
And God in him.
Yes.
So it's all about love. And to me, what that says, it's all about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship with him and relationship with each other. The relationship with him, sometimes it's the easy part. The relationship with each other, man, sometimes that is the very difficult part. Because sometimes it's very difficult to love others as we think we love God. But there's another scripture that says that if you don't love your brother, don't say you love God. Because if you say that you love something that you can't see, that's not true if you can't love something that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And love, if you want to know about it, read 1 Corinthians 13. And be challenged, because that is a throwdown chapter on love, right? It's a drop the mic chapter. You look at that and you're like, oh man, I can't live up to this. No, you can't in your own strength, but in Christ, you can. That's why we need to abide and remain in him. So, did something happen there? Yeah, something happened. Did you do something? I'll just read it. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay. Okay. If you abide in me, I knew you did something. I'm like, what do you do? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Not a genie in the bottle, but someone desiring intimate, personal, daily relationship. And letting them know that even though I'm going away, we're going to abide in each other.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm going to ask everybody, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to ask everybody just to shut their eyes for just a minute. This is a very old chorus that I learned when I first became a Christian, and I love it because it's total scripture. So I want you to just hear this, okay? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. It shall be done unto you. Has anybody ever heard that chorus? It's this scripture. And if singing is your deal, learn that little chorus, because then you can just, that's a prayer being sung straight to the heart of God. That's from your heart to his. I just love that. Just love that.
Yeah, I didn't get into this, but the one thing at the end of that verse, the conditional part, I'm going like, Lord, I don't see at this particular time everything that I desire being done for me. So I know you need to teach me even more how to learn to abide in you. I mean, it's easy to, you know, to have your quote unquote, you know, spiritual, you know, marks, and you think, well, you know, I must have done everything I needed to do, but it's in the fruit. And for me, I want to be able to hear him in such a way that my desires align with him in such a way that when I have compassion towards someone, like Jesus did, that he then could see their blind eyes open. He could then see them come from a state of paralysis to where they would stand strong on their legs. He could see those ones that were, you know, as lost could be, that people were ready to stone them, and yet his love and compassion could pour forth to them and not judge them, but rescue them. And so I know I need to learn to abide more. So Father, as I'm praying, Lord, I know most of us here are saying, Lord, teach us. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You are the Spirit of truth. You will lead and guide us into all truth. So show us the reality, Lord, of what it means to live and dwell and remain in Christ, in you. Show us what it means, Lord, to let your words, your rhema, your personal communication to me on a daily basis be received in my heart. Not just bounce off like some kind of a shield that I've got that keeps it from penetrating. Lord, let your word penetrate, your rhema penetrate deep into me, Lord, so that I'm changed and transformed. We want to be who you have called us to be. Lord, we want to know you, Lord, as you desire for us to know you. So Lord, do in us what you need to do. We surrender, we yield, and we give you permission, Holy Spirit, to go to work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone have anything else? Should have asked that probably before I prayed. Got all spiritual and everything. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Blessings. Try to stay cool out there today. And if you think about it, pray for a nice wind to blow. Yes. Just blow the valley clear. Is the fire out? I haven't heard. Bless you, brother. Love you.